substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But here's our text for tonight. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come on, God, give God some glory. Amen for his word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Use it to edify us and increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So, saints, we've been in the book of Hebrews, amen, and this book is all about the Hebrew people, amen, staying in the faith of Yahshua Jesus the Christ, staying in the new covenant, amen, staying in the faith, hallelujah. In chapter 10, it was all about apostasy, people falling away from the new covenant, and he ends chapter 10 talking about faith, faith as the antidote to withstand, God bless you, to withstand falling away from the faith. And in chapter 11, the writer goes off in Hebrews. He enlarges upon the subject of faith, amen, and he enters into what we call the Hall of Faith chapter of the book of Hebrews, and that's chapter 11. Chapter 11 can be separated into two parts. It gives, number one, a definition of faith, and then it comes off and it gives us the history of faith. We've been on this second part, talking about the history of faith. Somebody say the history of faith. We've been talking about that. And so we talked about Abel, y'all. And he was the first antediluvian. Somebody say antediluvian. All right, that means before the flood. And so he was the fourth, he was the first antediluvian patriarch to be mentioned, amen, to have faith, and that's Abel. We're studying the second one right now, which is Enoch. Somebody say Enoch. We had 3 points as we discussed Enoch. The first point was Enoch, and we just talked about him being the seventh from Adam. We just talked about him being a prophet, a scribe, who wrote the book of Enoch, amen. He lived during the times of angels and watchers, amen, falling from heaven, commingling themselves with the children of men, amen. So we talked about Enoch. We talked about, secondly, that Enoch was translated. That means he was taken up. He was carried across. And this was a big deal, if you remember, because since Adam, amen, death reigned, amen, and everybody that we mentioned, whether it was Seth, amen, or Canaan, amen. Everybody that we mentioned, the Bible says he died. Well, Enoch broke that cycle of death, amen. He was translated. He was taken up. He was caught up, amen, as the Bible would tell us. Thirdly, we discuss why God translated Enoch. And the Bible says because Enoch pleased God. Somebody say Enoch pleased God. That's right. He sure did. Amen. And he pleased God by faith. Amen. He believed in God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. He believed in God so strongly that he walked with God. He walked with God. And in that walk with God, it means to, amen, to commune with God, to spend time with God, and also to live for God, to live like God was standing right on the side of you, and that was Enoch, amen? And so Enoch walked with God, he pleased God, therefore God translated him and took him up to heaven. Tonight we move on to Hebrews 11:6, and we're going to have 3 more points, y'all. First point we'll have is without faith. Second point, he is. And the third point, a rewarder, all right? So without faith, he is, and a rewarder. So let's begin with our first point, without faith. And we get that from verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, You see, without faith, Philly, Enoch could never have done what he did. He could never have walked with God. He could never have talked with God. He could never have communed with God and live on this earth like God was right on the side of him if he didn't have faith. If he never believed in God and believed all the stories that Adam and Eve and even Seth had spoken about God, Enoch would never have arrived to the place he arrived in the spirit if he really didn't believe, trust, and have faith in God. The fact that we could talk about Enoch pleasing God is only because of faith. Somebody say faith. You see, nothing we can do, y'all, can please God. Not a single thing we can do. Apart from Christ, apart from faith, nothing humanity can do can please God. Are you with me here so far? All right? You say, Pastor, why would you say that? Well, it's just the way it is, y'all. God is holy, and we all some sinners. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So there's nothing that we can do that can please him apart from faith. Amen? Our faith is the only thing that we can offer to God. All right? And if we offer him anything apart from faith, it's broken. Anything apart from faith is dirty, is soiled, is stained. Our faith is the only thing that we can offer up to God. We look at God and we say, God, I can't do nothing for you but believe you. Anybody hear me up in here? And that's all that God is worried about. He's worried about whether we trust him, whether we believe him. You see, the Bible says without faith, watch this, it is impossible to please him. Meaning that if you don't, I'm talking about, listen, you could do what you want in this life. If you don't have faith in God and who he is and what he's promised, you could do whatever you want in this life and you will not satisfy God. You will not please him. God will look down on what you've done and say, it looks good, but it don't rise to my level. It does not satisfy me. All right? So I got a few examples to talk about the things that we do or try to do to please God, amen, apart from faith, that just don't measure up. Subpoint A, our good works. Our good works, without faith, they do nothing for God. Do nothing for God. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness, all of our good works, all our good deeds, guess what? They are as what? Filthy rags to a most holy God. All we have to offer God is our faith, is our trust. That's all we can give him. Can't give him nothing else. You know what I'm saying? We like them babies that come back with a toy that's all broken, all messed up. Or like them children that try to cook supper and don't know really what to do. They're just mixing everything up. And they say, gugu, gaga, you eat that. We ain't eating that. That's how we are when we come to God with our good works, with our righteousness. Our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. And I have here in my notes, I don't care how many homeless people you feed. I don't care how many people you clothe and you buy clothes for. You can start a whole thrifty way. You can start a Salvation Army. You can clothe a whole city. You can feed, amen, a whole country if you want. But unless you have faith in God's word and faith in God, after you feed that whole country, God's going to look at that and say, you've done absolutely nothing in my eyes. Absolutely nothing. Are you understanding what I'm talking about here? You see, faith is everything. I don't care how many prisoners you visit in jail. It don't matter. God, it don't matter nothing. How many schools you build. They got them people, amen, they out there in Hollywood, they on TV, and they building school, and that's fine. That's dandy. That's a great thing. But building a school ain't going to get you into glory. It's not going to get you into heaven, amen. That's not what God requires of us. You see? God is interested in one thing. He's interested in your faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. All of that stuff means nothing to God. You see? And I'm not saying that God don't care about good works altogether, no. All right? But I'm telling you that apart from faith, good works mean nothing. Once you get the requisite faith, once you believe God, you trust his word, you trust in his son, you trust in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, then you start to apply the good works. That's when good works count. But before faith, good works don't mean a single thing. And I don't know about you, but I was in the good works business before I got saved. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? Well, I'm better than her. I'm better than him. I ain't did as much as she did or as much as he did. Amen. We was all in the good works business. Amen. But we were still in the negative. Anybody had their account in the negative before? Amen. And when your account in the negative, listen, your account was in the negative with God. All right. We had sinned against our God. We had a sin debt. You understand what I'm saying? And if you ever had your account in the negative, I'm talking about really negative. I'm talking about thousands. Anybody had? No, don't raise your hand. Listen, I'm talking about the thousands. All right? And I want you to imagine, amen, you don't have no money. You trying to put pennies on thousands of dollars worth of negatives. That's your little good works, apart from faith. But when faith comes, you understand what I'm saying? When faith comes, when you believe in Yahshua, Jesus pay off your sin debt. Ooh. So he take your account that was thousands in the hole, he bring you back up to balance. Now it's time for some good works. Anybody hear me up in here? And for those students in theology, you know he not only bring our account current, amen, he also impute his righteousness into our account, making us millionaires in the spirit. But that's too much for some of y'all. You understand what happened? After faith is when good works supposed to begin. But most of the world has got it twisted. Most of the world has gotten it backwards. They in the negative, amen. They in the negative, amen. It's like they trying to put drops of water to fill a bucket with no bottom. You see what I'm saying? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Our religious works, religion rather, your religion, amen, must be applicable to this particular section of scripture. You see, you can have religion and it will not be pleasing to God. By religion, I'm talking about the man-made system of beliefs. I'm talking about traditions. I'm talking about bending and bowing. I'm talking about sign of the crossing. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about, y'all know all the prayers we used to pray. Watch this. Without faith, even your religion, it's impossible to please God. Are you with me here so far? All right? I don't know about you, but I was in religion. And until I believed in Yahshua, I wasn't pleasing God. I wasn't pleasing God. I was still in the negative. I was still in sin debt. And I was doing all the religious works. You understand what I'm saying? How many people was doing religious works? Huh? Can I tell you, before faith, everything you did for that religion meant nothing in the eyes of God? Didn't mean anything to God. Why? Because it was not with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You see? Well, Pastor, how could you say it was without faith? You know what I'm saying? Well, you didn't have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I knew about it. That's different than faith. You see, you could know something and not believe in it. Are you hearing me up in here? You see, faith goes beyond just a knowledge of a thing. Faith is knowledge, amen, but it's also agreement, and then it's also trust. You see? When I was in religion, just like you, when you was in religion, we knew it, but we didn't fully trust in it. So we hadn't arrived to the point of saving faith yet. So the things we was doing, hallelujah, it was without a real saving faith. And without that faith, it's impossible to please God. All right? Knowing something is not the requisite for faith. All right? It's kind of like, amen, you on a boat that's sinking. All right? And you see the lifeboats attached to the boat. And you see the ropes. And you see the pulley. And you see the apparatus that you need to press to make the boat go down right after you get in. So you see and you know everything you have to do to get out of this ship that's sinking fast. Knowing all those things will not save you. Because I could sit there and say, there it is. I see the apparatus. I see the pulley. But for true saving faith, I not only see the lifeboat, I agree that that lifeboat can get me to safety. Then I get myself in the lifeboat, trusting it and it alone to get me to that safe place away from a ship that's going under. Are you hearing me up in here? Jesus and the cross is the lifeboat. The world is the sinking ship. You could know and perceive with your mind that this is the way of salvation, but until you get in it and trust in it fully and rely upon it, strap yourself into it and leave the world. Y'all ain't ready for this, huh? Somebody say faith. You see, religion, just with tradition and all of his empty things, amen, it doesn't mean anything to God. You can have all the religion you want, be in a church 100 years, say all the prayers you want, fast as many times you want, knock on as many doors as you want, ride as many bikes as you want, wear as many long sleeve shirts in the summertime as you want, and dresses down to your ankles as you want. You can complete as many Sabbaths as you want, but guess what? As long as you are in religion, apart from the saving power of the cross of Calvary, as long as you are in that religion and don't have a legitimate biblical faith, everything you do means absolutely nothing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Your nationality means nothing to God without faith. You could be Hebrew. You could be Gentile. You could be Chinese, Japanese, Korean. You know what I'm saying? I mentioned already, you could be black. You could be shoeshine black. It don't matter what your nationality is. If you don't have faith, amen, it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter your family lineage, where you come from. You could be from the Rockefeller family. The Carnegie family, the Gates family, the Jobs family, the Bezos family. Your lineage apart from faith does nothing for God. My mama and my daddy did this. That's cool. But what about your personal faith? And without faith, hallelujah, it is impossible for you yourself to please God. There's some other things that I want to say before I leave this point. Money apart from faith can't please God. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. And those greenbacks, those Benjamins, is just paper to him, construction paper. It means nothing to him. Your popularity in school, high school, college, amen, or even your popularity on Twitter, Facebook, absolutely means nothing to God unless you believe in him and believe in Jesus Christ. Your education means nothing to God. You can have more degrees than a thermometer, amen, hallelujah. It does not matter to God without faith. You could be a professor, a doctor, philosopher. It means absolutely nothing to him. The job position you have means nothing to God without faith. You see what I'm saying? I have on here beauty. How you look means nothing to God. Your skin complexion, the type of hair you got, how your feet look at night, that don't mean nothing to God. Your talents, whether you could sing, dance, run, or jump, apart from faith, you don't even show up on God's calendar. You don't even show up. Now, I want you to take that and use the opposite of that. Because you'll have people who don't have the talent, who can't sing, can't run, can't jump, can't dance. They don't have the beauty. They don't have the education. They don't have the job position. They don't have the popularity. They might not even have the money. Don't have the family lineage, the Carnegie, don't have the Rockefeller, amen. But one thing they do have, they have faith in the Most High God. And I'm telling you, that's the people that please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But if you can believe and trust God, it don't matter all these other things that you don't have. As long as you got faith, amen, you a winner in the eyes of God. Come on, give God some glory. See, I think about the apostles, amen, uneducated men. The ones that the Pharisees say, they're just fishermen. They don't even know letters. They don't know anything. But the Bible says, amen, that they had been with Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, fishermen. That's how I see Enoch as being, y'all. That's how I see Enoch. He trusted God. He believed God. And when you believe God, I'm telling you, God's going to do amazing things. But we'll get to it in a second when we talk about Him being a rewarder, all right? But the first thing is, you got to understand that faith is the measuring tool for heaven, all right? All the things we make important on earth is not important. Faith is the currency of heaven. God is looking for somebody who's going to believe Him. You understand what I'm saying? Because we got big men and women on earth, but they small from heaven. And we got people that small on earth that we don't think about anything, don't even know their name. But when God looked down and He looked to and fro in the earth, He looking for somebody whose heart is complete and perfect towards Him. That means believe Him so He can show Himself faithful towards. You see, I'm telling you, they got people in here and in your life you won't even look at. You even tell them hi. Amen. But God look at them and say, that's a believer. That's somebody who's a millionaire in the spirit and in the currency of faith. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me up in here. We're going to get to it in a second. If you can just grab this concept of trusting God, and salvation is the base level. But if you can trust Him in every area of your life, salvation is the base level. But if you can learn to trust Him in every area of your life, that's pleasing to God. Oh, no, God, a bill? I ain't worried about no bill, God. Eviction, no, man, I ain't worried about that. They come and get the car, man, I'm not worried about that. Stress, cry, argue, fuss, family problem for some money? Not when my God owns a cattle on a thousand hill. What in the world is wrong with you? I ain't worried about a thing. Sickness? Man, I'm coming to the altar on Sunday, man. I know that healing is the children's bread. Doctor, you can say whatever you want, but I know that there's a prophet still in Israel. Listen to me. By His stripes, I am healed. You understand what I'm saying? Lonely? Man, I ain't lonely. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, He will be with me until the end of the age. Broke? Man, I ain't never broke, man. He gonna supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Failure? Man, I ain't never failed. For all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Man, listen, man. Listen. Clothes, a house? Man, He provide for the lilies in the valley. Lilies in the field. Why in the world He not going to take care of me? What in the world are we worried about? See, that's the people that God looking for. That don't just talk about it, but be about it. I ain't worried about a thing. You understand what I'm saying? He's looking for you to have faith in Him and trust in Him and trust in His promises to you. And when you can do that, you are pleasing to Him. It don't matter what school you went to. Don't matter what you do on the job. You could be pushing a broom. But in that whole company, that whole building with all kind of doctors, lawyers, and judges, and scientists, and chemists, God looked down and said, that's the most important person in there to me. That's the one that believed me. The angel don't even understand, but God, he's pushing a broom. But you don't understand. Behind the broom, I got somebody that'll walk on water with me. Stand up in front of seas and split it wide open. You see, we be at a crossroads. We want to be known by men instead of known by God. We want to be popular on earth instead of popular in heaven. You see, God wants people of faith. That's the currency of heaven, when you can trust him. And the thing about it is, it won't be long. He always sends tests to test our faith. Might have some sitting in a test right now. Using this word to encourage you, to build you up. Because some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we're going to remember the name of our God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, God. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's looking for. All right? This is what he's looking for. All right? It's a radical belief in him that defies everything that's natural. Defies everything that's natural, everything that we see. Like, God, I trust you. It don't look like it. It don't sound like it. It don't even feel like it. But I trust you. I don't even know how you're gonna do it. I ain't got the money for it. Hey! And everybody I come to telling me no. But I trust you. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. See, that's the kind of faith he taught. He said, without it, it's impossible to please him. Listen, I'm just going off. Now, every person we see in that Bible that done anything for God was a person of faith. Moses, person of faith. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. God, you coming with me? You understand what I'm saying? Joshua, person of faith. Ruth, person of faith. Your people going to be my people. Your God going to be my God. I ain't going back over there. But you ain't never seen my God. I trust him, man. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. I'm coming on over there. Rahab, our faith. You understand what I'm saying? We know that the Most High God is with y'all. Come on in my house. I'm going to hide y'all. And when y'all destroy the city, I'm going to put out a red thread. When you see the red thread, come on, get me in my house. Hold on. Because I believe in the God of Israel. I never seen him, never heard him. You the first Israelite I met, but somehow I know that the walls of Jericho gonna come tumbling down. Faith. David, walk up in that valley. That big Goliath looked down at him and said, boy, you coming to play with sticks, boy? I look like a dog to be playing fetch with you. Is my name Fido? You come with all these threatenings and warnings, but I come in the name of my God, the God of Israel, and you go. You want to know what you need to be great? Oh, let me hear it. You want to know what you need to be great? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and saving faith is just the bare minimum. But it's a faith in everything. The just shall live by faith. You understand? It's not just to be saved. We live by it. We go from faith to faith. You understand what this is our life? It's never a time when we're not trusting in God, TP. I don't trust him to get to this step. Wait, I got to do it the other way. I don't trust him to get to this step. And guess what? The next step, I'm going to trust him again. And then the next one, I'm going to trust him again. And then this one, I'm going to trust. We're going from faith to faith. Oh, God, I got to keep going. Y'all playing around, pulling stuff out of me. This is the great ones, y'all. This is the great ones, y'all. We just believe God, man. We just believe him, man. We don't know how. We don't know why. We don't know when. But we get a word. We done prayed about it. We walking out on it. And we just like, Lord, listen. You either going to catch me or I'm going to hit the ground. And just... I'm going to tell y'all a problem. Get back to your notes, Pastor. No, wait. Our problem is other people. In the area of faith, our problem is other people. We're so afraid with what other people think, so moved by their opinion of us, that God could tell us to walk out. But God, if I fall, what they gonna say and what they gonna... See, Brian, the way that I move me, I know that when I step out, you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm kind of crazy yet, but I'm gonna do a point A and a point B. Point A is I can't lose. So when I step out, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I lose, I win. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my mindset. I just, like, I can't lose. All right? But let me just bring it down. B. All right? If I would so happen to lose, since I took a chance, I at least had an opportunity to win. See, the person who sit there and don't take a chance, don't get up out the boat, don't even try to put their foot on the water, you got a 100% failure rate. Nothing gonna happen with you just not doing anything. But at least those of us that attempt to hear God, attempt to do something spectacular for God. Attempt to take the test. Attempt to get the light. Attempt to open a bit. Attempt to... At least I have a shot. And that's how I'm thinking. That's how I'm thinking. You see? All right. The Spirit telling you, give him something to feel. You want currency, which is flow, is current, but you ain't got no containers to fill. Before he did the miracle, he said, anybody got some fish? Anybody got some food to feed him? He took the little and made a whole meal. But some of y'all not even giving him little. You see, the little boy had faith to give him the little fish and a little... Some of us would have been, Lord, I'm not giving you my lunch. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat my fish, my filet of fish sandwich. When he blessed the widow, he asked her, he said, what you have in your house? She come out with some containers. He said, man, go borrow some other containers. Give him something he could feel. So when he decide to send the rain, you got containers on the ground. You got investments, you got businesses, you got... We know he's sending the rain because he's going to restore the kingdom back to Judah. We know he's going to send the rain because he's going to give us both the former and the latter rain. We know he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. We don't have room enough to receive. So why not prepare for a flood? Why not prepare for the rain? We know... I got to keep going. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Let's keep going. Point number two. I just went off for a second, Jen. I just went off. Let's get back. You got to provide him some containers. And you could do it responsibly, yeah. Just give him something to... And you're going to know when it's time to let go of other things. I'm not telling you to quit tonight, but just make room tonight. Set the infrastructure up. Make room tonight. And when it's time, amen, you're going to know when it's time to go from this other place. When your hobby has become, ooh, God. You were just doing this for fun, not... You were just doing this on the side. Okay. Point number two. He is. Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. All right? Biblical faith in God begins first and foremost in a belief in his existence. You must believe that he is. He's up there. And he's reigning. If you cannot believe that he is, then everything else about your faith falls apart. There has to be a clear belief in the existence of God for you to believe in a providing God, a healing God, a way-making God. Your belief in him has to be strong. That's the root of your faith. That when you pray, somebody's up there listening. That when you call upon him, somebody really gonna answer. You see, we dealing with faith, but some of y'all got a root problem. You got a root problem. You vacillate on his existence. And because of that root problem, amen, hallelujah, hey, God, the other branches of your faith can't blossom yet because you got a problem in the root. You know, sometimes, amen, in construction, amen, you got to fix that foundation problem before you can fix anything else. All right? I'm talking about the doors sticking, the windows jamming up, you got cracks in the sheetrock, everything messed up. And here you are, you messing around trying to patch up symptoms when God's saying you got a foundation issue. See, something in your childhood done made you doubt the existence of God. Something when you was in the class, something when you took this course, something when you was in that public school system, something put, hallelujah, the devil put a seed of doubt in your spirit that's messing up your root system. It's like he done sprayed some Roundup at the root. And you praying, amen, but you don't have this foundation, this root issue, that when you come to God, you must 100% completely believe that he is. It can be no doubt about it because it's going to show up. It's going to show up. Not only in the way you live, but the way you pray. It's going to show up. You got a root problem. You got a foundation issue. You got to believe that he is. That's why the schools attack his existence, y'all. That's why the public schools, the colleges, even the elementary schools, they attack his existence incessantly. teaching them evolution from the very womb, from the crib. Teaching them anti-biblical things, Darwinism, amen. Even before they can pronounce the words, they teach in tongue. It's to attack the root of our faith that God is. You see, to please him, you got to know he's up there. You got to know he is. Enoch knew he is. Not he was. He is. All right? All right? Because he's always in the present. He's never was. He is. You see? This belief in his existence is a firm persuasion of his being. A firm persuasion of his being. You have to believe that he's real. Now, I'm going to try in three quick subpoints, amen, to help you with that belief that God is and to show you how many things prove that God is up there, is all around us, that he is real. I'm going to try to fix your foundation problem. Because some of y'all have a faith issue and you don't know what it is, but it's that root. Subconsciously, or sometimes, you doubt whether he's really there, whether there really is a God. And in the spirit, I just heard the TV shows. You sit in front of that TV, and TV time in and time again. You come from monkeys, you come from this, the Big Bang, the planets. Eroding and wearing away our foundation. Let's do some foundation repair. Pastor, why is it not hard to believe that God is? Because of creation. Because of creation. Me and my wife was just talking the other day, amen, and trying to decide whether where to put a TV and where not to put a TV. And we say, you know what? Let's face the sofa towards the windows. So we could look out his beautiful creation. See, we spend our time focusing on a world that's not real. And it's part of the devil's plan because every time you look at creation, creation talks to us, preaches to us, tells us something. You want to know what creation says every time we look at it? See, every time you look at that, it's telling you, God not real. He don't exist. Creation is not real. Genesis 1 not real. It didn't really happen in Noah. It didn't really happen in John. But when we look at his mountains, his rivers, his hills, his stars, when we look at his creation, what does his creation tell us? Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Anybody hear me up in here? That's what it declares. Every time we look at it, devil don't like you to go around looking at God's creation. Don't want you to stand out there and look at the Gulf. And don't want you to stand there and look at the mountains. Don't want you to stand there and look at all these things. Why? Because those things are so large, so massive. They tell us that somebody bigger than us made it before us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show it his handiwork. The Bible tells us that they declare that a creator exists day after day. And night after night, their voice is heard. And look, it's heard everywhere. Because no matter where you are on the earth, amen, hallelujah, all of creation is there around you, the sun, the moon, the stars, every single person hears the preached word of creation. Creation tells us there is a God. Imagine if you explored and found a land that you never knew existed. And once you got there, you saw buildings, streets, bridges, boats, lights, Trains. I'm talking about you just come up and you just open up the woods. You're like, whoa, buildings, trains, lights, bridges. Oh my goodness, look at all of this stuff. If you found a place like that, would you say to yourself, all of this must have happened by itself? You say, look at all these cars and trains, and nobody was there to tell you what happened. Would you just walk up there and say, these buildings are magnificent. They must have just evolved. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? First thing you would say is, who built this city? Ooh! But we look at the world we live in. We look at all the mountains and the canyons. We look at Niagara Falls. We go to these places since we moving around now. We blessed now. We looking at all the glory of God. And we should be saying the same thing. Who built this thing here? Are you hearing me up in here? Creation declares the glory of God. Not only creation, but the motion of creation. The motion of creation. All right? So you could look at the earth and say, oh, yeah, there's a God. You could look at the heavens and say, there's a God. But what I mean by motion is the way everything moves and moves together. I'm talking about, amen, how the sky moves, the stars move, the sun move, the moon move, the wind, the seasons, the tides, everything just moving at the perfect time, rising and setting, moving and going, flowing and retracting, everything just moving as though it was a perfect symmetry and harmony about it. The motion of creation. How summer come just at the right time. Winter come, oh Lord, let it come, just at the right time. You see? Then I looked at the cycles of creation and looked at the water cycle. How it's been set in place, Harvey, that it you got precipitation, evaporation, condensation, and then precipitation again. And it just... And the earth stays watered like that. It's this perfect symmetry, this perfect motion, this perfect movement that they say just happened. You see? I think about the food chain. Huh? I don't want to make nobody hungry here. Animal eat a plant. Another animal eat that animal. That animal either get eaten or he die. And when he die, the earth take him back in, grow some more grass, and it start all over again. It's a cycle. Hello. I think about the oxygen, carbon dioxide cycle. You think all that's just coincidence? They call it photosynthesis, but I call it God. That I breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. All the plants in the world take in the carbon dioxide through sun and photosynthesis, do their little thing, and they breathe out oxygen. I breathe out what they need, they breathe out what I need, and this whole flow, this whole circle of life continues. That just don't happen, though, y'all. The motion of creation tells us there's a God. It would be like you seeing a clock and the face was off of it. And you saw all the gears and the moving parts of the clock that move together, never breaking or trying to hurt one another, move together for a purpose so that we can tell time. If you walked upon a mechanism like that and saw the intricacy and the precision and how all the gears fit in one to another, and when one turn, it turns another, which turns another. That'd be like you walking up to that and say, wow, look what evolved and just happened, bust out of nowhere. Came out from the slime in the ocean. Would you ever say that if you saw a clock like that? Where one thing moves the other? You wouldn't say that about something man-made. How dare you say that about something God-made? You understand what I'm saying? You see? The very man that made the clock is more intricate than the clock. All of the parts in his ear that give him hearing. All the different parts and lenses and retina and optic nerve in his eye that give him sight. All the different things that got to go on with our vocal cords and our throat and the exact amount of oxygen to come in so that we can talk and make sound. And from my mouth vibrating in my vocal cords, you are hearing what I'm saying, registering your ear, going to your brain, coming up with sentences, and now you have a thought. You understand. Oh, God have mercy. How that's all going to be going on and there's no God. You would never say that this thing just came out of nothing. Why would you look at something more exquisite? David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me fix your root problem. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God. And Yahweh is his name. He's our God. Creation declares. The motion of creation declares. And I'm going to have to stop on this one. The conscience of men declare it. Yes. The conscience of men. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the very groundwork, the very basic level of faith is understanding and believing that he is. We see creation. It declares he is. We see the motion of creation, which declares he is. But the conscience of men also declare he is. What you mean by that, Pastor? In the heart of every man is a belief in God. In the heart of every man. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has planted eternity in the heart of man, in the human heart. That's what it says in the NLT, if we can get that in the NLT, Brent. He had planted eternity in the human heart. This means that when we think about life, all of us know that there's something more than what we see. All of us know that there's something beyond this physical world. We all know deep inside that there's something bigger than us. And we all know one day we're going to meet that something or someone. Anybody hear me up in here? We all know it. We all know it. Deep down inside, we all know it. You see? And we are born this way. We are born with this knowledge of the Most High. This knowledge of eternity. This knowledge that what we see is only just a microcosm of what is real. Are you with me here so far? You see? In the spirit, I'm seeing a tree. You see? To believe that there's not another spiritual plane is to look at a tree and only believe in the part of the tree that you could see. But what you don't understand is that usually the part that you cannot see of the tree is more than the part that you can see. Oh, God, have mercy. Are you seeing it with me here so far? This is our material plane that we live on. And this is you. You in the natural, yeah. But there is more of you and about you that we can't see. Ha, 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 ha. amazing? See, y'all was cutting up when I talked about the physical body, comparing it to the clock and saying, you're not believing in God, and look how exquisite and intricate the human body. I just was talking about the physical side. The physical side, no matter how glorious it is on this planet, can't compare with your spiritual side. Your body compared to your soul, your body is clay, and your soul is the jewel, is the diamond, is the... Pastor, what you're saying, listen to me, man. That soul he built on the inside of you, that house your emotions, your thoughts, and your memories, that operate between two physical worlds, that soul that can grab something out the refrigerator but lay a hold on a spiritual God that's in heaven. Listen to me, man. The soul is amazing, man. Your physical body gonna perish. From dust it came, to dust it shall return. That soul that he made is gonna live forever. Long after we lay down the tabernacle of Omar, the tabernacle of Mark. Amen. When we put them in them boxes up there, that's no longer Omar. That's no longer Mark, for to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Oh, God. I gotta go. Y'all playing around, man. When he healed a man, he healed the man the first time. He said, I see men as trees. Half in one world, half in another. The conscience of men. The conscience of men. In our souls, we know that there's something greater than us out there. That there's something bigger than us out there. Something, and something we're going to have to deal with. You see? And we born this way. We born this way. Without ever learning about God, children take to God like ducklings to a pond. They believe so readily. That's why God said, he said, man, listen, you got to have faith like a child. You understand what I'm saying? Because we born with eternity in our heart. We take to it. Pastor, what you mean by that? You see, in every society of men that you travel to and you go to, whether they civilized or uncivilized, they always have a God. Might not be the right God, but they have a God. They uneducated, they don't know how to read, they don't know how to write, but they always have a God. Might not be the right God. They might be worshiping some totem pole, some planet, Neptune, Jupiter, which ain't real anyway, but some star, some moon, but they have a God. What does that say? That say that when we come out of the womb, yes, we sinners, but we also have a part of us that say, you ain't created yourself. And so man go throughout life and he's looking for creator. He's looking for that from which he sprang from. He is like the wave that's always looking to come back to the ocean from whence it came. He looking. God has sent eternity in the hearts of men. Our conscience bear witness that there is a God. Before I was saved, I would dream of judgment day. Didn't even know the scriptures. All I could see was fire. All I could see is everything burning. Didn't even know God. But my conscience was bearing witness to me, brother, you better get yourself right. I'm almost done. Y'all ready to go home. Listen. The commentators say that there are no natural atheists. You ain't gonna never run upon a civilization. Oh, we're all atheists. You're not running into that. And you're not running into a child that says, I don't believe in God. You don't run into that. Atheists are not born, they are created. This is something that's taught, like they're teaching in them Harvest Man schools. This is something that's taught and then practiced. And even in them teaching it, and practicing it, the conscience is still talking. Screaming over Darwin, screaming over Copernicus, screaming over Freud and all those other people that try to suppress the knowledge of the truth. The conscience still screams, there is a God, and you better get right with him. You better get right with him. Oh, God. I'm almost done. Listen, they suppress the knowledge, but the conscience is still there. You see, Pastor, why you tell us all that? Because if you can grab hold of this fact, and grab hold of it, amen, in a way that no one can tear it from you. That God is. That God is. I mean, it don't matter if they set you on fire. God is. It don't matter if they take food away from you. God is. It don't matter if mom and daddy forsake you. God is. It don't matter if your life go up, your life go down. It don't matter if you lose everything that you own, amen. You come out like Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is, and he gave, and he take away. You got to be settled in your heart that God is, you know. And we can talk later, amen, about once you understand that there is a God, then you got to be taught right about who is that God, all right? Because oftentimes we make up a God. Like I said, and that's when we make an idol. We do have a God. Yahweh is his name. Yahshua is his son. And the Bible is his word. Amen. The Bible is his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for the patience of your saints. Just sitting under your word. Just talking about faith. All the way from the foundation, the basics of it. All the way up to us believing and trusting you in every area of our lives. We pray tonight that, oh God, you would increase our faith. That you would help us to be like Enoch. We want to please you, Daddy. But we know without it, it's impossible to please you. We want to show up on the faith scale. The Bible says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? So we answer the call tonight. We say, yes, you will. We say, yes, you will find faith, and you will find it in your people, the Hebrews. We will not let you go. We will believe, God. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, we will believe. We believe in your existence. We will believe in your cross, your salvation. And we will believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Now, Daddy, bless your people who stayed out late with me tonight. We never got to the text, but we're going to see next time that you reward them for every Tuesday they come. For every minute they spent over. Reward them, Daddy. We pray if there's any that's not saved, that somehow or another we would have preached your gospel in such a way that they would just not look at the lifeboat, but that they would jump in tonight. We ask that you would do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give y'all some glory. Woo. Come on, stand with me, stand with me. I got to get out of here. Y'all got me so excited tonight, I didn't. Somebody say, God, I believe. I believe that you are. You exist. And you love me. I'm a sinner, but you still love me. You sent your son. He died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. He rose the third day. Forgive me, Lord. Save me, Lord, and use me, Lord. In Jesus' name.